Hey guys, it's the Evan and Caitlin podcast, the podcast where we still don't know what we're doing, and that's okay. Today is going to be another focus on YouTube. I hope it's not too much YouTube, but there's just so much going
on. It's just our lives, you know?
It's like...
This is literally all we think about.
You're so true. There's some stuff going on in the back end with A/B testing. We're going to be talking about how we still don't know what we're doing after 2.5 years. Some common things we've gotten right, some common things we've gotten wrong. And we're going to play a little bonus game at the end.
Yeah, that I don't really know about.
Yeah, so I did the research this time. You think that I'd be able to give a better intro?
You know, we learn from people in the past that everyone loves your intros where you just read off our notes.
I was trying not to read. That's what I did wrong. I didn't just read it. I tried to like do it from my memory, which is a flawed thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're just doing the best we can.
Okay, so I think that one thing we want to start with is a story about how we like finally did something where we felt like we were real YouTubers, in air quotes. We like took a project and we filmed in public.
In the wild, yeah.
In the wild. So for those of you guys who haven't watched it, we recently released a Minecraft video where we...
A Minecraft diamond pickaxe video, not like a Minecraft gaming video.
Yes.
Which we also release but on our gaming channel.
We took this pickaxe and we took it to like a public place. We went to Natural Bridge Caverns and we filmed like a YouTube video around other people.
I know. It's a rare thing. And like we've taken projects into public before, but in scenarios where we didn't have to interact with anyone. And really the only thing I can think of is we've taken projects to a park to get like pretty outdoor shots.
Yeah.
And every now and then we will, like someone will ask what we're doing because we have a bench in the park and we're taking pictures of it.
But we've never recorded that. We've never recorded any interactions while we've been out and about.
No, we've never recorded any interactions. I guess like when the cop stopped by when we were shooting the propane cannon, but that wasn't on purpose.
No, that wasn't on purpose. You know? And we just had to include that because like if you're shooting a propane cannon in an abandoned public park and a cop comes to check on you,
stop the camera.
That it's a rule that you have to try to film that as much as you can. I mean, come on.
but yeah, I can't really think of any other scenarios where we took filming into public with like the hope that we would get some interesting interactions and reactions and stuff.
And it was really fun. I think that I was slightly worried I might be more like hesitant or nervous or like I might just feel weird about it. That's what my fear was. But I didn't really feel weird about it at all, probably because we've been filming ourselves for so long in all these various scenarios, and it didn't feel weird. And also, I knew that since we were in full control of the footage, that we would be able to blur people's faces and like... If there are any faux pas on someone else's part or whatever, then you know we could present everyone in their best light. Mm-hmm. Not that there were any faux pas, but it's kind of like if we were in a filming in public in another scenario, maybe where we weren't editing it or what have you, I might feel weirder about it. But I think that since you were in control of the whole thing, I just knew that everything was going to be okay. I don't know.
I'm glad you have so much faith in my editing.
I have so much faith in your editing.
Yeah, I think I would have been more nervous, and I was a little nervous, but I was more nervous about them not letting us in because we actually did try to do a similar thing once, and it didn't work out.
Oh yeah,
let me explain the story. Yeah. When we did our first soap video, we're like, you know, it'd be really cool. What if we take our soaps to Lush, which is a like fancy soap store? We were like, what if we take our soaps to Lush and we ask the employees there to tell us how we did?
Yeah, like get a professional, or at least opinion,
even if they're not a professional, someone who is around fancy soaps a lot. And we were like, that'd be so cool. But being the rule followers that we are, we called them at the store first and we were like, hey, we have a YouTube channel. And
we weren't that hesitant.
We were hoping that we could film. No, we weren't that hesitant. But we did ask if we could film in their store because like it felt weird to be sneaky about it.
And it would have been weird to be sneaky.
When we went to Natural Bridge Caverns,
I had like a nerd fanny pack, wires running to my ears to monitor the sound.
But it wasn't weird.
We had this big camera. Like if we were filming in Lush, especially like interviewing someone, it would be super weird if they didn't know everything that was going on.
It'd be so weird. Yeah. But I feel like at Natural Bridge Caverns, everyone has their camera out. People are already taking videos and photos.
You know what's so interesting? Huh. So one of the YouTubers that we watch that we've gotten some recent inspiration from is Sophia.
Yeah, Sophia Nygaard.
And she often films at Disney World.
Where people Disneyland. Also have cameras out all the time.
Where people also have cameras. Yeah. And it's not weird to have cameras. It's like people are taking pictures of other people all the time. And that's why she goes there, potentially.
Yeah, maybe. Because there's a lot of people. There's crowds.
Yeah.
And it's not weird to have a camera.
It's not weird to have a camera.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, so in order to make filming YouTube videos in public less weird, go to a place
where people bring cameras.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Because, yeah, I didn't feel weird having the camera. Whereas, you know, at Lush, it would have been super weird. They said no, by the way, obviously, which is why that scene is not in the soap making, the first soap making.
The reason
video.
They said no is they're like, well, we wouldn't be able to promote a competitor's brand because, like, they thought that we were trying to, like, sell it or compare ours to theirs or do, like, a hit piece on them or something like that. And it is an interesting thing, and it is a problem
that they have to worry about.
It's a problem they had to worry about. I mean, Walmart has gotten so much harassment, basically, from these YouTubers who aren't filming in a mature and responsible manner. Let's just say that. You know, people go there and they've done some like crazy stuff. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but they've done like, they've like damaged displays and damaged goods and like caused havoc just to like say, I got kicked out of Walmart or, you know,
it's
something
like a
that.
Weird badge of honor.
It's like a weird badge of honor. Like they're going for the clickbaity thumbnail that isn't clickbait, but they're doing it. They're doing these dumb behaviors just to get like,
silly
footage for their videos.
Kids,
I'm like,
these days,
be respectful.
Be respectful.
Listen to your elders. Hey, yeah. You know, some of them might be older than us. That'd be weird, but
yeah, I don't know.
You don't know.
But yeah, so it does make sense that they didn't feel comfortable with us filming, and I'm still glad we called and asked, even though they said no. But yeah, that is an interesting thing to think about, that this wasn't weird.
It wasn't weird, and now we kind of know why.
Yeah.
Huh. We'll have to keep that in mind for future things. Too bad there's like not something a little bit closer in Houston where we could like easily go and film in public. What would that be? Like, I guess the park? I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I mean, a lot of our projects don't really make sense to be taken out.
No.
We can't
let's take
our
propane cannon.
We can't like take the resin knives and be like, what do you think about these knives?
Wouldn't be weird. In the least.
Yeah.
Perfectly acceptable.
Perfectly normal.
But it was a fun experience to push ourselves in that new direction. And, you know, it is partially because we have been continually shifting, like, what our inspiration is. We keep all of our old parts of, like, the video style that we've built up, and we keep on layering and adding new things. Like, I think that one of our very first episodes, we kind of go through all of the channels that affected us.
Yeah.
We might need to do an update episode
where
we like go through the continued evolution of all the other channels that have inspired us and the new ways we're like thinking about filming and thinking about how to do more. Like, I know that we kind of talked about nonlinear editing when we talked about how the Try Guys inspired us some, but now Sophia has inspired us even more by doing like mixing, not just nonlinear editing of like things in the moment, but like sitting at a desk or reading something or voiceover overlaid and intermixed between the content.
Between like the live, with the live footage.
With the live footage, yeah.
Yeah.
So continuing to evolve.
Yeah.
In other news, good transition to news, there's some interesting updates going on with YouTube right now, and one that we have very mixed feelings about, and by mixed I mean
strongly negative.
YouTube is experimenting with a new layout for the homepage.
It's so weird.
I don't understand.
Why are the thumbnails so big?
So basically, if you've been to the YouTube homepage and you're not just mainly on your phone, you know that there's probably like a layout of 6 to 8 videos wide at times, depending on your screen, but like a whole bunch of thumbnails, a whole like, you know,
and it's often broken up into like topics you might like, or like from, it'll be like from your subscriptions in a row,
or like woodworking, a topic,
like a home renovation, cats, you know, the various things we like to watch.
And now it's just like 2 videos wide.
Yeah.
The thumbnails are giant.
They're so big. And one thumbnails thing, weren't meant to be that big.
Well, but also, like, literally, I think that, like, they're testing a photo before it's, or testing a feature before it's fully implemented on the back end.
Yeah, because they're all really pixelated.
All of the thumbnails are super, like, stretched and pixelated. It's like they took a, like, very small resolution file and just dragged it out.
Yeah. It's so bad.
It's so interesting.
And I mean, specifically the, like, pixelation, I'm sure that's something that's just, like, a bug they're working out. But
yeah.
I just don't like the really big things. Because it's like, you know, you do certain things to the thumbnail because they are such a small image. Like, you might boost the contrast more than you would if you were just editing a photo.
Yeah.
You might put the text bigger than what looks nice because you want it to show up in a tiny thumbnail. But then when it's enlarged, like, you know, double the length and double the width, now all of a sudden it's like punching you in the face.
Yeah. Well, I think that one thing that I'm going to do, and I'm going to be a responsible person about this, YouTube needs feedback from their users. So I'm going to find a place where I can politely send in feedback and I will, like, participate in the official process, and I will send feedback on this feature.
Oh,
because on the back end of YouTube, they are always asking us, like, what do you think about this new beta feature? What do you think about this and that? And on the back end...
Dear sirs or madams.
This sucks. Goodbye. You know, because it is hard to know what to do when you're in a vacuum of no feedback.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm sure that the amount of people who visit YouTube every day versus the number of people who give feedback is very small.
I'm sure they're getting feedback, but I bet most of it is, like, people tagging them on Twitter and stuff like that. Yeah. But that's hard to sort through in an official way, whereas if you leave the feedback through official systems, then they can, like, quantify that.
Well, I mean, there's a, like, on the creator side of things, there's a YouTube channel that we've talked about before, Creator Insider, and they're developing, you know, the new back end for content creators. And, you know, the people on that channel, they say every comment that a content creator leaves on the leave feedback, it's all sorted. It's all read. It's all like they, like, kind of like how we read every single comment.
Mm-hmm.
They read every single piece of feedback. And, you know, it's a much smaller number on the, like, our side of things. But it's interesting to think about.
Yeah.
Let's. Hopefully it's a democracy and we can sway them to move in the right direction. Who knows? But one thing that's interesting, Google and YouTube is also a company. And this is something that I found out that I think is very interesting and just strange a little bit in general. YouTube is adding more ads everywhere.
What do you mean?
YouTube and Google in general. So Google in general, it's like if you're in the assistant, you know, you get personalized recommendations based on all of your metadata in your personalized, like, data about you, like stories you might like, weather, your commute. There's also going to be ads.
You mean like the little pull down on your phone?
The little pull down on your phone, the little swipe, the Google Assistant.
Oh yeah, I never look at those.
I use that a bit. So that's going to affect me some. On Google Images, there's also going to be ads at the top when you search for images. I know.
Is it going to be relevant? Like, if I search Minecraft Diamond Pickaxe, is it going to be people paying to be at the top of Minecraft Diamond Pickaxe? Or is it going to be, like, some random company?
I didn't read much about this article.
Good research.
Good research. But I'll link the official Google blog post down below with some of the updates on ads. But the craziest thing, the thing that, like, affects me and will affect people who watch our content is... On the homepage of the Google mobile app, you're scrolling through videos, and there's going to be an ad in the home feed.
Like Instagram. No.
Yes. And the thing that's weird about this is...
But then, that's,
like,
weird,
because... Like, who gets the credit for that? Is it just straight to Google? Is it not...
It's got to be just straight to Google.
Just straight to Google. They're just skimming it off the top. Because, you know, on Google now, or on YouTube now... When
if you watch an ad, the creator is getting some of, like, a small portion of that money. Yeah,
exactly.
So it's like benefiting the creator community.
And I guess one thing that's interesting is a lot of these advertisers, they have a lot of hesitation about just putting their ad before someone else's video, because what if that video is someone at Walmart trying to get kicked out, you know? I mean, and then, like, what if it's an ad for Walmart?
Oh, no.
Because they're like, hey, this title, this video has Walmart in the title. Let's put a Walmart ad in front. Or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And some companies might want a very safe space to put their ad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what if their ad is right above and below
the thumbnail of the thumbnail Walmart of something getting kicked really out bad. Of Walmart video? Yeah.
It still kind of faces the same problem. It's just interesting that they're kind of moving in that direction. And I again, you know, with any of these products that you get for free, in air quote, you are the product. Your attention, you're paying with your attention.
Yeah.
And they're monetizing it via ads and other things. So, I mean, that's just kind of...
It is kind of how it is.
The way of things. Even one thing that's interesting is now with YouTube Premium, YouTube has been, like, developing these, like, premium shows like Cobra Kai and Liza Koshy has a few. And now they're releasing them ad-supported. Like
ad-supported?
So they used to be exclusive to YouTube Red and people who pay, like, a subscription.
Oh, now that you can watch them, but with ads?
But with ads, like, intermixed in them before, after, and all of that stuff.
So basically now the only difference between having YouTube Premium or regular YouTube is just no ads with Premium.
No ads. But also... Like, if you, they're also releasing everything at once if you're on YouTube Red, but if you're on normal YouTube, they, like, you have to wait to, like, for the whole season and stuff like that. So, like, they're just doing a lot of things.
Because then they can, you know, they're releasing it, but in a way that's kind of annoying. Because, like, you have to wait, and you still have to watch ads. But if you get hooked, you might be willing to pay.
I think one interesting thing is, I think that we're going to title this episode of the podcast, "We Don't Understand YouTube." And I guess one thing that's comforting is YouTube doesn't understand YouTube.
That's true.
You know, no one knows what's going on. It's just a big, vast experiment that just, like...
Is our livelihood.
But it's like people at YouTube, they're just experimenting. Let's try this. Let's try this 1% experiment. And if you guys don't know it, there's a lot of, like, 1% experiments going on a lot of the time.
We were part of one.
We were.
Speaking of which, we weren't able to talk about it until
I think that we can now, because YouTube has talked about it multiple times on their Creator Insider channel. Like, engineers at YouTube have talked about it. And I think we can talk about it generally too. On their public channel.
There's not an NDA that says, like, we're not supposed to say specifically that we were part of it, right?
I don't know.
You didn't check that?
I think that it's good because they've talked about it and other people have talked about it. There have been articles written about it.
Okay.
So YouTube is doing, like, an A/B thumbnail testing for people who don't know what thumbnail to choose, which we
never do.
We never do. Like, with every one of our videos, we have, like, a few thumbnails. In the Minecraft pickaxe, we went through at least 10 main branches of the thumbnail. And within those, in total, we probably had, like... We went through 30 iterations of the thumbnail.
Yeah.
We put a lot of time into it because it's very important.
And we've tried different things to try to figure out what thumbnail is best. Like, we've posted on Patreon or on our Discord. We've shared it on our socials. We've asked our moms. We have, like, a thing we got from another YouTuber friend where we can, like, insert it. It's like a little template where you can insert it into a YouTube homepage and see what it looks like with other thumbnails.
You know?
So we have all these various things, but it's still just very hard to make that decision. Yeah,
I mean, we have spent up to probably 8 hours on a thumbnail.
Yeah, which, oh, I don't like thinking.
That's a lot.
And sometimes
it's like 3 hours and 3 hours or something like that. Like,
well, that's still long. Sometimes we knock them out in like an hour.
Sometimes we knock them out in less than that.
Yeah, in less than that. So it all depends. But yeah, it's always very hard. So we're super excited to get invited to be part of the thumbnail A/B testing program because you could do, I think, up to three.
I think you could maybe even do more than three options. But after a week, they will let you know which one did better.
Well, what you do is you submit your, we would always do two at a time, but you can submit your set of thumbnails. They will, on the back end, show like a certain percent your thumbnail B, a certain percent your thumbnail A. And then after a week, they tell you which one performed better.
Mm-hmm.
And you put A, your favorite one is A, because they're going to show slightly more people that one.
Yeah.
And what we learned is that literally every time B was a better thumbnail. So basically we were wrong.
It wasn't every time. 6 out of 7, the B thumbnail was better. And the one time that it wasn't better, it was the same.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, oh my gosh. Even when we tried to like game it, there was once, I think it was with the Resin Ocean Bath Caddy. I was like, you know what? This is the one I think is A and this is the one I think is B. Let's reverse it because we're always wrong. And then we're still wrong.
It's so crazy because we even tried to adjust, as we went based on the A-B testing feedback that we were kind of getting. And it just kind of goes to show that we've been doing this for 2.5 years. We have a successful channel. This is a successful channel.
It's paying our bills.
It's paying our bills. It's doing well. And we still don't know what's going on.
Still don't know. Yeah. It's so interesting. I think one of the reasons it's so hard is because, I mean, obviously, there's not things that universally are guaranteed to work. There might be some best practices, but, you know, we could talk to our other YouTube friends and their strategies are totally different than ours and wouldn't work on our channel.
I think that if you have a formula, like Bon Appetit has a series called
The Gourmet Makes. Yeah, with Claire, which we talked about before.
And all of those thumbnails are very similar. It's like the gourmet version, the real version, and with Claire in the background.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you have a formula like that, that you know works, and that works, man, they get views.
I know, but I don't think you know
generally what the thumbnail is going to be.
Yes, but I think because those videos have done so well, they were just able to say like, okay, let's just do the same thing. And then when people see it, they know immediately what it is, but you have to have a very formulaic type of video in order to be that formulaic with your thumbnail. And I don't think that that's necessarily the best thumbnail format. I think there might even have been a better one. Personally, mainly just making everything bigger. Like, I think it'd be better if you could see Claire's expression a little bit better. And I think the little inset photos of the food, sometimes it's too small to really see it. So I think it could be even a little better. But of course, at this point, it doesn't make sense for them to change it because the consistency and recognition is the most important thing.
Yeah. Because they have a fan base.
Yeah, because they have like a solid fan base. I mean, when you get millions of views every time you do it, like, of course you don't change it.
Yeah. Like you want to get they have a hit on their hands and they want to keep on hitting that, you know?
How would we, if we were going to formalize our thumbnails, what would it be?
Okay.
Like, what could we do?
We need a face in it. Or I think that we need one of our faces.
I think we need a face.
Because that's like what our channel is, kind of. You know, that's the thing that's the only thing that unifies our channel, the two of us.
Well, I mean, making something.
You decorated my beard once.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You made my beard.
I made your beard. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So, bottom left corner is my face making an expression. Top right corner, because you're taller and because the bottom right is where the timestamp that the video length is, top right is your face. We're both making expressions, very clickbaity, like, oh.
Oh.
And then in the middle is...
an in progress or a final?
It's a final shot, but it's pixelated every time, so you can't see it.
That'd be horrible.
And then arrows, red arrows, and a big question mark. Do it every time.
That'd be horrible. That'd be so bad.
Gold. That's the formula.
I think that one of our strengths is that we keep on adapting. It's annoying. It's more work.
It would
work.
Be kind of nice to have a formula.
It would be nice to have a formula. Kind of nice. Leave your suggestions below in our YouTube video of what our formula should be, because we don't know.
More faces going, oh!
Oh! And would they be like just like us against the green screen cut out?
Yeah, cut out. Just cut out.
Just taken in post?
Yeah. We could just honestly just use the same photo.
The same photo every single time of us going, oh. I think that'd do horribly. But you know, good attempt.
What's your suggestion?
My suggestion is a lot harder. What we do is... okay, so this is all, I'm going to be a little bit realistic because I know that you were kind of being like
I was kind of being goofy.
You were kind of being a little bit goofy, but like to be serious about like what actually goes into the back, you know, what goes into our thoughts as we think of a thumbnail. One, we're like, what does our current audience want? What do they expect? And how can we like appeal to our current audience? And you know, as we have been developing our channel, our audience has kind of shifted some because we used to just show the final shot and then the final shot and us. And then like now it's us and an in progress or, you know, so like a halfway done or a detail or like some sort of a little bit of a tease so that the final result isn't spoiled before
but
you watch it.
But sometimes we do show the final.
Sometimes we do show the final. So, you know, part of what we're like, okay, is so how are we going to appeal to our current audience? How are we going to appeal to a new audience? And who is that new audience going to be? So in the Minecraft thumbnail, for example, we kind of wanted to shout out some like Minecraft type things so that people who like Minecraft will see it and have that nostalgic feeling. So that's why we included the pickaxe. We showed the final thing, the pickaxe.
And we included a little creeper in the thumbnail.
We included a creeper, but we also wanted to show one of our faces. And so we did Caitlin's because it had the best image, but we also wanted to show that we were in a cave, so we chose an image of Caitlin in the cave instead of Caitlin in a workshop because we thought it was more unusual and we wanted to show that there's going to be an adventure and, you know, we were going to move locations and it was going to be different. And we also wanted to show us making it, so we included
a pour,
and that also appeals to the people who like resin, who like the build, who like the, like, actual
process. And it gives
process.
You a little bit of that like transformation from this to that vibe.
From this to that
with
vibe.
With the arrow between the pour pointing to the pickaxe. And it makes you want to, hopefully it makes you want to see like how you get from this step to this step.
Yeah. But there's like all of that and more that we think of kind of like, and that's like where we ended up. In the process of getting there, we were like, do we just show just the pickaxe?
Like next to the pixel version of the pickaxe. That's kind of the obvious. Yeah.
We could just do a close-up of the pickaxe and that's it. Or like the digital to the real. Don't have any of our faces and just have Minecraft to real life, you know, as the main concept. And that we did have something like that and it looked awesome. But we just were worried about what that was.
Well, we worried that it wouldn't communicate that there was like a strong human element to these videos.
Yeah.
When you don't have a human like in it.
Yeah.
People are able to do that. Like Bobby Duke, his thumbnails don't usually have him in it.
But also that's because his audience is used to it now.
Yeah, his audience is used to it now and he's big enough that it's not gonna like affect things negatively.
Yeah. But I mean like, you know, when I was personally looking at the photo that had just the two things. And you know what?
The two things as in the pixel pickaxe and the real pickaxe?
Yeah, and I'll go ahead and link in the description of this video, I'll link to our blog post about this podcast where I'll list some of the potential thumbnails so that you guys can see what we're talking about. Because it's kind of hard to just like try to picture this in your head. So visit the blog post below if you want to see what thumbnails we're talking about. But I think that one of our worries about just having the two pickaxes and not our face is that to me is like the in air quotes stronger YouTube thumbnail. Like if it was just a generic person's YouTube video and it was just generically on YouTube, but I was worried that it wouldn't appeal to our current audience. It would perform much worse in the first 24 hours or week. And if it doesn't do well with your audience, it probably isn't going out to the wider YouTube audience because your audience already gave it a bad ranking.
Yeah. Well, and I think when you're saying like generic YouTube, do you mean it kind of looked like it looked more like a thumbnail that would be in one of the like life hack kind of channels.
Life hack kind of things, yeah.
Where it's like not a person running it, it's more of like a company running it.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of like a 2-minute video on like
with
making
a
this pickaxe.
Process.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Where it's like,
and that's not what we
produced
were.
In some foreign country of some sort and like brown-eyed girl. It's a reference to Troom. Sorry. don't look up that channel. Please don't go there. They don't need any more views. Even if it's rage watching. what were you saying?
We were talking about thumbnails. Oh, the A/B testing and how we were terrible.
Yeah.
Another thing that we've kind of been bad at is predicting what videos would do well and what videos wouldn't.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get it, but I feel like at least half the time we're totally off.
Well, I think that one thing I think like, you know, and you have to be careful about drawing conclusions when you're looking backwards on data that you're kind of biased on and everything because, you know, you can see patterns. You can get like false positive in terms of patterns because that's just human nature, I guess. Yeah. But like one of the examples we kind of bring up is the propane cannon. When we launched it, we thought, oh, this is going to be super awesome because it has all of the elements that we see in successful YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But because it was so abnormal to our audience, it didn't perform as well. And like that's my conclusion looking back on it.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if it's right.
No, I think it's right.
You think it's right?
I think it's right.
Why do you think the Mario Kart failed then? Because that's another one that we thought was going to do awesome, and it didn't really.
I think maybe it's kind of similar.
Similar?
I think
because
maybe
it wasn't as much of like a build.
I think it was too much time spent on the like battling the Mario Karts, the Mario Kart robots. And just for context, because we haven't brought this one up yet today already, but we like got these robot car kits and we like 3D printed accessories so that we could turn them into Mario Kart battle cars. So we put like razor blades on their heads in these little 3D printed like helmets that we made for them. And then we 3D printed little things to stick balloons on their butts.
Yeah.
And we decorated them and made them funny looking and stuff.
It was one of the most fun things I have done.
Oh my gosh. It was so fun.
In my life. It was so much fun.
We were just like in the backyard.
Battling you.
We were just in the backyard. We set up some obstacles and just battled each other. But I think so much of the video was the battling and not so much the making.
And even the making wasn't as much making. We were putting together a kit and chatting, and we recorded it in a live stream that we edited together. We edited the live stream together.
It was a weird format.
It was just too many unusual things, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's also interesting because the propane cannon eventually took off, and Mario Kart has just stayed there at like a low number of
views. Maybe it needs to wait a year like propane cannon did.
In propane cannon, we eventually did a collaboration with Modern Rogue, and they kind of pointed some people to that video, and that kind of gave it a little steroid shot. And then it kind of, after their initial boost, it kind of took off again, and we changed the thumbnail, I think. And
yeah.
So there's a lot of other things going on. But yeah, we...
In the opposite direction, one that did well, that like was our number two video for so long.
Drywall.
How to patch and repair drywall. It was literally the second video we have ever recorded and edited.
Yeah.
And it's a tutorial about like a boring thing.
The test of time.
It stood the test of time. Like... And it's very different from the videos we do now because it's a tutorial. I mean, they're still like cute.
It's pretty much a straight up tutorial with entertaining
bits in there.
There's still
little bits of humor that we added in, but you know, it's all voiceover. We're actually telling you what to do
and what materials you
and
need.
What materials,
like
and
step
tools.
One, step two, step three. Oh man.
Yeah, so it's like very different now where we kind of like go faster and like don't get into those details quite as much.
I never expected, like, when we recorded that, I don't even know why we did it. I think we just needed to patch holes in our garage.
Oh, we just needed, well, because we were like, okay, if we're going to be filming in our workshop, it looks like crap now.
Yeah.
The walls were so beat up and so bad. We had one hole that was like, I could have crawled into it. It was so big. And
I think a car rammed it.
Yeah, I think a car must have, that's the only explanation. It was like the size of like a backpack. Sorry, I was looking around the room and I saw a backpack.
Large backpack.
It was a big hole. And so we needed to fix all that stuff. And when we launched our channel, we wanted to launch with like 4 or 5 videos. So we were also trying to figure out videos we could do to launch the channel. So it's like, well, we have to do this in order to film in here. And
we might as well film it.
We need DIY content. We might as well film it. So that's why we did it. But we didn't expect that it would do well.
Yeah. So yeah, we weren't expecting that at all.
Yeah.
And then I think one other thing that surprised me a little bit is the spin acrylic.
Oh, the spin art?
Spin art. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was so like fun and easy. And we were like, this is probably not going to do well.
The only reason we wanted to do that is just because we wanted to do that.
We wanted to do it. Yeah. But like, I didn't expect it to do well. And that one kind of like kicked off our 2019 spring growth after a bit of a slump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not to say like, you know, I think that we're kind of pointing out all the times we got things wrong. I mean, there are some times where we really did think that we were going to do well and they did well. Like the self-watering concrete resin planter.
Yeah.
Like we
that was our number one for a long
really
time.
Wanted to perform well and it did perform well.
And
same
this,
with catio.
And this
same
desk,
with the desk.
Yeah, the LED resin
so
desk.
So the three top ones we had high hopes for and they...
Oh, and the geode table.
Oh, the geode table.
Oh, and the laundry room makeover.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
yeah.
Like our top five were things that we were like... These are going to do well. And they did well.
And it was
great. I'm going to pat you on the back. Thanks. Here. Can I get some? Yay. See, it's not weird if we're patting each other on the back.
Instead of ourselves?
Yeah. Yeah, but there are some things that we get wrong. But I think the main point is, I don't really know what the main point of this episode is, but
we don't know what we're doing, but also nobody knows what they're doing.
Well, I know where I wanted to get to. Oh, okay. With this episode. I kind of wanted to get to a point.
Okay.
The point is, how do we feel okay with things at the end of the day and like at the end of the video, when the video performs, however it performs, mm-hmm. how do we feel good about what we've done? And I think that the conclusion I've gotten to is, as long as we feel like we did everything we could for mm-hmm. the video, even if it does poorly, we're like, okay,
we tried,
we did everything we could, and there's no regrets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, of course, like we kind of do have regrets about like, oh, I wish it had done better.
It's not really regrets. It's like you wish things had gone otherwise, but I think it's not, I think regrets isn't the right word.
Yeah.
I think it's, But I think you're right. I think one thing that we've gotten a little bit better about recently is like making sure that we're thinking through our thumbnail and title choices, like from the perspective of, okay, when we launch this, if it does poorly, are we going to be scrambling last minute to change it? Or have we already thought of all the things that'll be running through our heads?
And there have been the many morning. Times where we scramble.
That's the worst. When you launch something and then you're like, crap, this thumbnail is crap and this title is terrible. We got to change it now. What should we change it to? Oh my God, I'm trying to Photoshop so fast. You know, those are the most stressful
mornings.
The
most stressful
and we've
of
done
all
that.
Of it was the nail flail.
Yeah.
That was the most stressed you've ever been. You're like freaking out.
That was the zombie weapon, which did not perform as well as we thought it did. It was still fine.
It was fine.
But we thought it would do really well. And I think some of it, if you look at the zombie weapon, yep. the propane cannon, and the Mario Kart battle.
They're all weapons?
They're all weapons.
Baby, YouTube, suppress them.
No, that's not what I was going to say. What I was going to say is I think those are three of the most fun videos that we've had in terms
instead
of like,
practical.
No. That's not what I mean. Oh. It's some of the most fun we've had filming.
Yeah.
With some of those videos. And I think because we have such a fun time filming.
We think people are going to have fun time watching us.
Yeah. Because it's like, oh my gosh, this has been such a fun project. It's going to do so well.
Well, you know what's interesting? I do have to say, some people who have watched those videos have said it's the favorite it's their favorite too.
That's true. And I'm not going to say that they're my favorite. I just think they're some of the most fun that we've filmed. Just because it's like, you know, smashing fruit with a flail you made and shooting watermelons and ramming razor blade adorned robots into each other is very fun.
It's very fun.
Satisfying.
Yeah. But it is hard to know how things are going to perform, like trying to see into the future. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, smooth transition here. I was on Ask Reddit the other day, and there is a question asked there that I wanted to bring up to you.
Okay. So, is this the game?
This is kind of a game. I'm not sure if it's a game. We might be able to turn it into a game somehow, but I'm just going to ask you, and I just want to like discuss things with you.
Okay.
So if you had access to YouTube from the year 2050, but you could only browse it for 1 hour, what would you search for and what would you watch?
Oh my God.
So like all of a sudden your YouTube like app on your phone goes through a time warp and you can just like browse only YouTube.
Like, go to our channel and see if it still exists.
That was one of my first thoughts, too. And then, like, see what the top performing videos were and then just do those
earlier. Yeah. Because, I think there is benefit in looking at other channels. But, you know, just like right now, I could look at some of the top performing videos and know that they're not things I would want to do or things that would do well on our channel. So I would look at our channel in 50 years. I would also look at some of our favorite channels.
So you wouldn't like research like the history of like sports and all the surprising upturns and then write that all down and then make bets and earn a lot of money or top performing companies and cheat the stock market? Not as interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking like how to use it to our advantage in YouTube, not like other
see
ways
what trends.
We could cheat at life.
Oh, another thing that we could do is we could like look at what trends are about to blow up.
Yeah.
In various years.
Yeah.
And then like we know that when that trend starts happening, we will have a video ready to release like right as it's like about to blow up.
Yeah.
And then we get to blow up with it.
Yeah.
Instead of reacting to things.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. Uh-huh.
One thing that I thought that's interesting, you said, I would look at what videos did well for us and do them in advance. But I think the thing that's hard about that is the videos that do well in our future might only do well because we did all the videos leading up to them.
That's true. Well, I could look at the ones in the future that didn't do well and be like, let's not do those.
You're right about that. You're right about
Skip
that.
Skip those and go to the next. And then you still generally, though, I mean, I feel like this is kind of like a not taking full advantage of this YouTube in 2050.
Yeah, I mean, we could like,
I'm getting.
We could like screen record it. Like look up the news and natural disasters and like prevent natural disasters or something like that.
I mean, that's noble sounding, but like, I can't prevent a hurricane.
Yeah, but we could evacuate the city.
We could?
Yeah,
you
we
and
could
I
say, like,
call the mayor.
We can make a YouTube video and we could, like, oh, you know what we could do? Oh, I know. Screen record your phone the whole time and Google search it all and then make a video about all the videos that you searched. And then that will go super viral and everyone will watch that video of yours and we. And we can do so much good and also benefit from it.
I mean, that's a great idea.
And would be famous because we can like look up things in the future and then
it'll prove. You only get that one time to look it up.
Yeah, you get that one time. And then what you do is you record it all. And then as those things start becoming true, people will believe you. Because at first, people are going to be like, nah.
I feel like that video wouldn't do super well on our channel. I don't think our audience is expecting that type of video. We'd have to make a project based around it. Like we make like a DIY phone holder. And then while we have your attention.
By the way, we also discovered that our phone went through a time-space continuum and it recorded, it knows YouTube. And
we like make a resin phone case. And By the way. Yeah, that is interesting to think about. I guess it's like I have slight interest. Or I do have interest in learning that type of stuff. But I don't know if I have enough interest to like really put in all the effort needed to fully cheat the system. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like in terms of like looking up what's going to do well in the stocks, I'd be like,
you think Caitlin would be like top cat videos of 2050.
No,
you'd be tempted.
I'd be tempted, but no, but like I'd be too paranoid to try to like cheat the stock system. Even if like no one knew that I had this on my phone, I'd feel like, someone would find out that I had insider information.
And then they'd go after you. They'd
go after me.
You might be true about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I would have insider information.
Because Caitlin, like, really, especially, like, in school and stuff, Caitlin was like, no.
You don't break the rules.
You don't even get close to the line of the rules.
No.
You stay way over there.
Yes.
And you get straight A's.
Yes.
Did you ever get a B in school?
Like in a class,
yeah.
I got one B in high school.
Were you upset?
I was upset, but it was my last semester senior year.
Oh,
so,
you're like upset. You're like,
yeah, I was only kind of upset. It was a like college credit course.
Oh yeah,
so it was harder, but I still got the credit even with the B.
Ah, so you got all the advantage anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I already like knew where I was going to school and everything, so it didn't really matter that much. That was my version of like senior slacking. I got a B in one class. A's and everything else, baby.
Well, I think that wraps up the bonus topic. I'm not really sure where I was going with that. I just thought I'd try like a random thing thrown in there.
It was interesting. What were some of the answers?
Some of the answers were everything that you'd think about, like how to cheat, like the like economy, how to like look up inventions, look up like technology, stonks. Sorry.
Stonks?
It's a meme thing. It's stocks.
Oh. I'm not cool.
You're very cool. I just spend too much time on Reddit at times, and Reddit has its own brand of humor.
Well, I understand that. I spend a lot of time on Reddit too, you know.
You do. You're cool.
Thanks. Stonks.
Stonks. Yeah, but there's just a lot of things with people like wanting to game the system and stuff like that.
That's interesting because I wonder, I feel like the answers might be different if you're asking someone who is, you know, who's a YouTuber versus someone who's not a YouTuber. Because someone who's not a YouTuber, there's no reason for them to look up like what's going to trend in terms of like wanting to make a video on it.
Yeah, but like imagine if you had have known that fidget spinners were going to blow up.
I know, but
and then you could like buy the fidget spinner company, take out a loan, buy the fidget spinner company, and become the fidget spinner company and ride that wave for a year.
Yes, but that's different.
That is different.
Because that's different than being like, oh, I'm going to make all the fidget spinner videos.
Mm. Yeah.
Like the motive's different.
Yeah. You could, yeah.
Because most of my initial thoughts were like, how can I use this to the advantage of our channel? Not like, how can I make money in another way that's not the channel?
You know what? This kind of goes back to something we've talked about before, and I don't want to like repeat myself, but I'll just touch on it briefly. One interesting and dangerous thing is if we had of like, let's say we had of known that fidget spinners were going to blow up and that slime was going to blow up. If we had of known that, would we have done it?
Like beforehand?
Beforehand? Because at first, my instinct was yes. But now that I'm thinking about it a little bit more, I'm like, no. Because then we'll just have a whole bunch of people who want fidget spinner videos and slime videos. Well,
I think if you do like one,
yeah,
you're not trapped in it. You just have like one video that does really well.
Does really well, yeah.
You know? And I think there's ways, like, we've seen other people in the maker community do that kind of thing, but make it their own. Like DP Make Stuff made a giant wooden fidget spinner.
That was epic.
All out of solid wood ball bearings, everything. It was super cool.
Still very makery.
Still very
and
makery.
Tying into the fidget spinner. Like even people who hate fidget spinners have to be like, respect.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I feel like we could have done something like that. We didn't do anything with the fidget spinners or slime or that kind of thing. But I feel like we could have figured out something to still make it feel like us.
I think that another thing that kind of hit me when I was thinking about if we could see, you know, 30 years into the future and look at whatever our top videos were, I think it'd be really boring to make those.
I think it depends. I think it depends on the video.
Yeah.
Maybe. 'Cause some things the process is fun no matter what.
Yeah. I think it just goes back to my pet peeve of like repeating work, even though I didn't do it. Well, I knew that I would like.
Well, then what's the alternative? Purposefully avoiding that?
If we could see in the future now, we'd have to do it. Yeah.
Or at least do like some of it.
Yeah, just some of it. Just a little bit.
It's like, nope, I don't like that direction. I'm going this way.
All right. Yeah. But I think that's a good place to wrap up the topic. And we'll transition smoothly into Thing of the Week. My thing of the week is my slow descent into madness that is RGB everything. I just really like RGB things, guys. I think that it's ever since we started the gaming channel.
Yeah.
I kind of blame that slightly.
It started maybe with this desk and having the RGB lights.
You're right. It started with the desk.
And the desk.
And then it's been a slow descent into RGB obsession.
Now we have RGB keyboards, RGB mouse pads, RGB computer, and RGB speaking light bulbs.
Of RGB mouse pads. That's what my thing of the week is.
Oh, yeah. I like
and it's, mouse and
pad.
It's not just a mouse pad. It's a mouse and keyboard pad. It's wide,
everything pad.
It's wide enough that you can put your mouse and keyboard on it. Well, the thing that always annoyed me is I wanted to shift my keyboard around, but my mouse pad kept on interfering with it. You know, so it's
my
keyboard would like lift up on an edge and like think that an eighth of an inch difference from one side of your keyboard to the other would
but
be annoying.
It's terrible.
But it's terrible. Especially for people at their desks for so much of the day. Mm-hmm. So I got a giant mouse pad.
Yeah.
This adds why that's like
it also kind of works as like a little cushion for your wrist.
Yeah, it's kind of cushy. It's a more cushy material. And it also has RGB all the way around the sides.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I thought that was really unique about this one, I saw a few that didn't have it, and I chose this specifically because it has it. Because it's RGB, it has to be powered, and it's powered over USB. And as long as you have USB coming to your desk, they have a USB port on the side of the mouse pad.
Oh, is that what that thing is?
Yeah, that's what that thing is. And if you want to plug in like a flash drive, you can plug it into your mouse pad. And how cool is that?
That's pretty cool.
So there's a USB port on your mouse pad.
That's pretty cool.
I think it's meant to like for your mouse, so you can plug your mouse in there, you know? Which I think
plug
is,
in our SD card reader.
Yeah, plug in our SD card reader. I'm not sure if it's USB 3.0, but it's still kind of a neat little feature. So that's the thing that I've liked. Now, I do have to say, as soon as you unwrap it from the package, because it comes in a tube, it does take a little bit to settle out the wonks of it. But that's something I noticed on like every mouse pad has that.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to ship in giant boxes. Mm-hmm. So every mouse pad is wrapped in a tube and it probably sits in a warehouse for like 6 months or whatever. But mine eventually settled out.
Yeah, it didn't take that long.
I kind of like bent it a little bit and then let it settle. But I've been enjoying it.
Speaking of RGB, I don't know if you guys can tell in the video of this, but we are testing out a thing. It's partially for your gaming channel, but here we test on the podcast video too, where we have our like RGB color changing light bulbs next to us. That was very coordinated. So like Evan's got kind of like a blue light on him right now, and I have kind of a red light on me.
And it's really just for the benefit of the people watching the YouTube video. Sorry, audio listeners.
It seems cool. I don't know.
It's really cool.
I think it'll like make more sense on the gaming channel, but I don't know.
It makes me feel super legit. It makes me feel like professional podcaster dude,
Professional podcaster dude, man.
Yeah.
So my thing of the week is... it's a faux trailer that I wish was real.
Like, it makes me so happy and so sad to watch.
So happy. It is a Zelda and Studio Ghibli crossover trailer.
Yeah, so basically, this one person.
An animator
and an amazing artist.
Oh, so good.
Who likes Studio Ghibli and likes Zelda, basically made a... like trailer for a Zelda movie if Studio Ghibli made it. So it's all in the style of Studio Ghibli, but like all
Zelda
of your
characters.
Zelda characters, Zelda locations, and like watching it just makes me so happy.
So nostalgic.
But it also makes me so sad that that's not a real thing.
I know. I need that Studio Ghibli Zelda crossover in my life.
Like, you know that Ghibli can do it.
Oh my gosh.
You know they could. It'd be beautiful.
I want it.
It's like I would pay a lot of money, more than like normal tickets.
They need to start a Kickstarter.
They can't, because the Kickstarter doesn't have IP.
No, Ghibli.
You know what they should do? A petition.
Yeah, a petition.
Yeah.
A petition.
Let's get like a million
I'd
signatures
sign the
on this.
Crap out of that petition. I'd use all my accounts.
Make a few accounts.
Yes, all my accounts.
All my accounts. And if you want to check that out, we'll have a link below.
It's so magical.
It's magical.
Prepare to be enchanted.
And if you are sad that it doesn't exist, but you want a consolation prize, on his website, he also has 4K wallpapers of art that he did.
I might want to do that on my computer.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's nice. All right, guys. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. I hope you enjoyed this podcast as we figure things out. And
bye.
Bye.